All right, and this is the Podcast Trivia Blacklist podcast for this week's episode, Newton Purcell, number 144. And I am Brian, joined by Dave, and we'll talk about this one. I don't know. I didn't like it. What did you think?
The Blacklister was like, I don't know, contrived isn't the word. The Blacklister was boring. Everything else was great. We love Glenn. Glenn's our hero.
Yeah, it was one of those episodes where I think it just, I wanted to move on from some storylines and get back to others. And you know, there was a lot going on. Most of it was the fun Glenn moments and the couple renditions of Eye of the Tiger that we had throughout.
They were good. And I'd be like, that's Eye of the Tiger and some kind of bizarre slow cover.
Right. Yeah. It was like during the Elodie's husband's funeral. It was like the slow love song version of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, and the Glenn stuff was really good. We'll talk about that. But as far as the Blacklister, I kind of agree. It was just, it didn't mean anything or have anything to do with anything.
To be able to track him down by finding noise canceling headphones through a doctor.
Basically.
That you can buy on Amazon. I don't have a pair here than the other room, but I own a pair that, you know, it's like, why?
Yeah.
Because he was using them the same way you use all the other ones. So,
yeah. I mean, if noise bothers people, wear those, you know, when they go out and they need, there's special earplugs you could wear to mute sounds and things like that. But yeah, it was just trying to get all techie with it, and it felt like environmental and things like that. They're getting into noise pollution, then talking about how it could have effects on people getting, Alzheimer's and dementia and things like that. And it felt a little preachy with it, but it really had nothing to do with anything. It wasn't a Blacklister that Red was like trying to give to the FBI to distract them from something he was doing, which is usually when we get these useless Blacklisters.
Yeah. It was like, oh, here's this guy, whatever it is, it's not what they think it is. Okay.
Right, and sometimes it usually ties back to Red somehow, and it had nothing to do with him. Once he gave them the case, he was out of the loop for it the rest of the episode. I mean, there was no contact with anybody the rest of the way.
The tech drove me absolutely nuts.
I figured it would.
Oh my goodness. So, I mean, this is my world, right? So, there would have been multiple lines of power going into that data center, number one. Number two, the generators, they would have been able to last for, you know, at least a week. They wouldn't have been freaking out or anything like that. Second off, if there's government data there, there would have been a man trap, which is basically the guy would have been led in through one set of doors. He would have been locked into this hallway while basically the security guard would have verified all his bona fides and credentials and all that kind of fun stuff back with whatever, and he wouldn't have been let out through the next door until that was verified.
Right.
I mean, it's government. I mean, if there's government data there, that's how it's going to be. And they're like, oh yeah, here you go. They go and they leave him in there alone. No.
No, that's the thing. Yeah, leaving him in there alone. And would a power company guy need access to the data center room?
Unlikely. There would have been a generator room and or a UPS room because he cut the power from the outside. Yeah, no, they would have been completely isolated. I have actually worked in multiple data centers as an employee and then as a customer, and that's how they work. Everything is segmented. I don't care who you are, unless you're an employee of the data center yourself, you are not left alone in certain areas. So it's just like, oh my goodness. And they wouldn't have had a computer out with their corporate data. That's not how that stuff works either. He would have needed to know exactly where he's going, which machines he's going. There would have been what's called a crash cart, which is basically a portable keyboard and mouse and everything. And he has to figure out, get into the actual rack, which would also be locked with a lock and key. Granted, they're easy to pick those locks. I've done that many times. Locks are not trustworthy.
There wouldn't just be a desktop on the corner that could access any of the servers.
And there'd be cameras through the entire thing. Every single row, especially, there's government data in there. And I also have a problem with government data from the NSA. that type of stuff is not going to be in a public data center.
Yeah, NSA, DOD, all those were mentioned as possibly having data, in that data center, and it would not be in a public. They manage their own.
Yeah.
Right.
They've got kind of their own deal. Maybe they have some, but not, you know. Now, the stuff he was looking for, the corporate stuff, would have been, yes, it would be in their own data center. Potentially the local township stuff, yes, that would probably be in a data center. But even then, right, they would have their own, like, hey, what are your security things? You know, are you following? Making throttling issues here. I was just like, oh my God, are you serious? And there would have been multiple ways out for that dude to get out too. It's with anything. There's always going to be ways out. Yeah, you can block one door, but I guarantee you there's another fire exit 50 feet away.
Well, look, like there was another door back by the desk. It looked like he walked by another one. So it all felt very contrived and unnecessary to have this type of plan. Only so it gets noticed by Red, because he couldn't figure out who none of his sources are saying that any government or intelligence agency from some other country is behind it, so it must be domestic and the FBI should look into it. Although I would say the FBI has probably already looked into it if the first one happened like 3 weeks prior, you know, at a data center that holds their information, and that they had no leads, and from what I could tell, nobody was even looking into it until the second one blew up. So, it was a stretch. Also, the guy could get the names of the people that were on the city council. Wouldn't he have known that?
Well, who specifically cut the red tape? Somebody took bribes. Mm-hmm. He figured out somebody had to have taken bribes, because it suddenly got fast-tracked through, and he didn't know who did it. And there, you know, city council probably has a dozen people on it. Mm-hmm. I think it would have, for considering what he was prepared to do, I can go and I can blow up a data center and do all this work, or I can just go kidnap 12 people.
Well, that's what I mean.
None of this is right. But with his mentality, I would think that honestly would have been easier to go kidnap and torture 12 people.
That's what I figure. Yeah, it would have been easier to do that. We would have had an episode with a room with these 12 council people in it, or in separate cells that he's, you know, got at his barn there or whatever. And I would have bought that more than the tech break in and the power grid thing and all that. So
I was so done with all of the tech he was doing with the sound, probably.
That was kind of cool,
you know. Because he talked about doing, you know, with the kidney stones and using that. Okay, I can see, you know, and I watched the original David Lynch Dune. They did it in there.
That was taking that tech to the extreme, and I was good with that. So
yeah, that was a stretch that I was well okay with.
Yep. But other than that, you know, they end up capturing him, and like I said, it doesn't really even lead to anything else. It just felt like
even the confession was just like, oh, okay, he confessed, and they walked out. I was like,
it just felt like a message. It felt like they were trying to make a message, and it, you know,
it wasn't even a very good one.
I don't want to say fell on deaf ears, but that's what it felt like it did. So, moving right along, we had some other stories going on. Three other ones kind of going on here. Let's talk about
do the short one first. The Liz, the Liz she's one. Looking for.
Yeah, so we get these little bits, and I'm like going crazy. I'm like, all right, I missed something. Who the hell is Liz looking for? Because I must have missed something 2 weeks ago that I had no idea. But she's getting these mysterious texts about no information on Mr. X, can't find him, another dead end, so forth. She meets with a man who has been trying to look up for her, and he recommends a PI who looked familiar to me, but I don't know if I'd recognize the actress or if she's been in the show, but looked familiar to me.
I know who she looked like to me.
From the show?
Because you got a very, very, no, not from the show. She got a very, I mean, it was by design. You didn't get a very good look at her. She looked like, if you've been watching the recent Doctor Who's.
She's one of the...
There is a, you have not seen them, and I know this. There is a, we'll call it a cameo by another character, and she looked like that character to me.
The actress.
And it wasn't, and no, it's not because they all look alike. It was just you only got certain angles of her.
She looked like somebody I've seen the actress before. I'll just put it that way. But I didn't know if I knew I'd seen the actress from the episode. But I think it's a new character. Liz is looking for Ilya.
Yeah, I had guessed that earlier because I'm like, who the hell else would she be looking for?
I would kind of rack my brain, but then it was so like intermittent, and we would get back to like Glenn or the arm story that I just kind of didn't waste my my brain power trying to think of who they were trying to find. Yeah. So I just moved on from it. But yeah, that's what she's looking for to help get some answers.
Yeah. So that's that is the big overarching story arc, and it was 90 seconds all total.
Yeah. This is going to be her. What is she doing behind Red's back arc? I think we talked about that last week. What is she doing that she's not trusting Red, and she's going to do something without Red knowing so that she can, confront him with whatever. Even though she keeps saying, like last week, you know, it doesn't matter, you're here, and, you know, doesn't matter who you are, what the past is, we're family, blah blah blah.
Yeah,
but yet she's still looking for answers. She did have the box though with lots of supplies, and had a passport for Agnes with an alternate name. So
you got to see the scar, which we hadn't seen since season two.
It's been a while, yeah. But she had a passport for Agnes, and talked about, you know, your father always taught me to be prepared for a rainy day. She had her when it all goes wrong, this is her escape bag. But it was a box in the wall.
I wrote down her Salome Perez is Agnes's name. Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Okay. We're done with that.
It's going to lead to other things that I'm sure we'll be able to talk about as we move forward. I mean, she's going to find him and ask him questions to try to get answers, but he wasn't willing to answer those questions under extreme duress and psychic manipulation. If he reveals who Red is to Liz, that's weak.
Psychic manipulation?
Or psychological. Did I say psychic or psychological?
I heard psychic. Okay.
Psychological manipulation. If he caves into her because she gives him a sob story, which I know he's going to, I think it's going to set up to that. We'll see him again, and she'll say, please, I have to know. And he'll be like, all right, I shouldn't tell you this, but, or he'll be ready to do it and somebody will kill him and she'll never find out. And then this thing will drag on 6 more seasons.
Yeah.
Just gave you heart palpitations. Where do you want to go next? Arm or Glenn?
Arm.
Okay. You know. Okay. So arms
It was all about Arm sperm count and his O face. Because we got the O face as he was jumping out.
Yeah, we kind of did. We kind of did.
Oh!
I need to confess something before I potentially die, and I need to confess that all the men in my family have a low sperm count, is what he talks about. And then they have their jump out of the airplane, and you know, I kind of wrote in there because we have him talking to Liz about it. The story's getting stale. At least at this stage, not until the end. I'll talk about there. It's like a hair on my thing.
Well, it got a little stale, and then I think this episode kind of took it to another level.
Yeah, because I just feel like the whole storyline has felt forced. It's like, oh, we need something to be going on, but it just feels forced. A lot like, you know, the Liz and Tom getting remarried a few years ago. Just the emotions of it all just felt forced, and this just feels forced. Like everybody really cares. I mean, I guess everybody does care about R&B being happy, but it just...
He's our favorite character.
But it seems like it's shoehorned into the episode. These little heart-to-hearts that he has with, you know, Liz or with Wrestler or whoever. in talking about his personal life. It just it feels out of place with the rest of the episode. And I don't know. Until I have a sense as to what
Wrestler is the only one who is down to earth in all of this.
Right.
If you really, he's like, is it really a tragedy if the woman he's sleeping with husband just died? Like, oh, I mean, it was a completely cynical comment and completely appropriate of,
right,
do you all understand what you're saying here? That's just, you know.
Yes, absolutely. And yeah, he was the one that was down to earth, but like I said, leading up to it and for a while, until we know where this storyline's going, it just feels like an unnecessary romantic love story as an aside note to the show. At least with Samar, she's in with the unit and they are all there together. But this is a woman who the rest of the crew has no interaction with, so we only see her when she's with Arm. Right. And unless it leads to something where she's some double agent or something like that, which is what I'm just going to continue to ride, because I have no justification for her existence unless she was either a double agent or some sort of plot to create a love triangle when Samar comes back.
Well, I think what we're going to learn now, based on, you know, the lie, which was a big lie that she told him, and what he found out looking at the contracts at the end, is that Correct. She's manipulative, and I'll use the word gold digger on this, and maybe she goes after him somehow for money, and or the fact he said these things, and he's like, you know what, I can't do this because you lied to me. She's like, well, then I'm going to tell everybody that you told me all these things you weren't supposed to tell me.
Right, yeah, she's going to turn out to be kind of this evil manipulative person and breaks his heart. You know, could she try to, you know, use her, does she have abilities to try to spin it to be, you know, make it look like he was a negligent party in the husband's death? You know, could she do something like that? I don't know, but it does all seem, yeah, like, I'm not sure. I don't know where it's going, but yeah, she did say that there was no prenup or anything like that, and of course he wanders away and she's got it laid out on the table, which is weird, you know, with all the other stuff. I don't know why she would have that out there for him.
Was that the ending you were expecting?
That he would find that?
So when Liz called and he started walking away, I was expecting a totally different ending, and it started going this way, right? Mm-hmm. Which was when he goes downstairs and he starts telling her, oh, you know, live in the moment, blah, 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 blah. I was expecting her to walk down, like, right behind him and overhear him saying that, and then come down and profess her love and then jump him, like, right there. Totally inappropriate for a wake.
Gotcha, yeah.
I was expecting that.
As opposed to him stumbling upon paperwork.
Right. I like my ending better because it allows him to continue to struggle in a, what have we done? You know, your husband just died and we had sex during his wake type, you know.
Right.
The emotional struggle, I would be better.
Struggle. Yeah, it's been his struggle the whole time. And I feel like it's kind of weird because I feel like a few weeks ago she was, like, looking forward to him dying. And then all of a sudden it became, you know, this is her burden that she needs to stick through and couldn't imagine living without her husband, even in the vegetative state that he's in. I haven't gotten a consistent read on this relationship,
well,
these last couple episodes when they've touched on this storyline. It feels like she's kind of gone a little back and forth with it.
Is she being manipulative?
It feels like it. And Arm would be the character to get manipulated. So yeah, it would make sense.
Would not be the first time.
Right, which is why I'm still sticking with my, there's ulterior motives, you know, almost like Arm was selected in this, even though, you know, she was was introduced in the story because of a blacklister and they needed her help to get in because of her husband. Him being in the condition he was in was because of that blacklister. But I still wonder if there's something else to it than that.
Yeah.
It seems too clean. Otherwise, I feel like we're gonna get this double agent thing somewhere down the road or something like that.
We're gonna get a lot of conflict, but I don't agree on the double agent.
Okay.
We don't usually disagree on a lot, but I'll yeah. disagree with you on that one.
Other than that, yes, the husband did die. Arm finds the prenup agreement where she would get $10 million if her husband dies, but she would get nothing if they were divorced or separated for any other reason. But if he predeceased her, she gets a $10 million estate. So, motive to...
Hang on. Hang out. Yeah.
Yeah, to stick around and to play the part of the... the grieving wife, so to speak. And yeah, so that's where we are. But yeah, we'll get, I'm sure this is going to continue because this is the only love story going on, so it's the only side story going on right now.
Thank goodness
for that. They'll use that to pad runtime of the show. And then after that, we get the whole Glenn thing where Red has worked out a deal to import some tritium, $12 million worth of it, to the U.S. It's a compound used in nuclear weapons, and he was having it basically embedded in the materials that make this truck. So he had this truck specially built with it, and it was going to be supposed to be shipped to Houston, and Glenn was supposed to take care of it all, but a number got transposed. It was an O instead of a zero, which is why O's are never used in serial numbers. It's always zero.
Yeah. So if you see it, it's a zero.
Yep.
Yeah.
There's a reason for that. And it ended up in Scranton, not Houston, and at a dealership where it was going to be used for a contest. I've heard of these contests where, you know, people just stand and keep their hand on the car, and the last one to keep their hand on it wins the vehicle as part of some promotion. That being said, this vehicle was special ordered with a courier service to be delivered. Why did this make it to a showroom floor no matter where it went? You know, because if this was special order courier delivered, why wouldn't the Scranton dealership be like, we weren't expecting this? Because they still got to pay invoice to get a truck, even if they're giving it away. So I'm just wondering that. Like, why, other than just so we can create this, you know, hilarious scenario that goes on, this should never have been a problem, no matter where it got misdelivered to. You know, this was no big, this should have been no big deal.
Yeah, at the same time, it could have been like, why didn't Red just call up and say, I want that truck, I will pay whatever, and I will give you enough money to put a different one on there, a better one on there.
Right.
It was, I don't know. But yeah, the contest was hysterical.
That was all what it was for, this Eye of the Tiger thing, and Glenn with his determination. He's in his track suit. He's eating like candy bars, Diet Coke, and Diet Coke. And cheese doodles, and doing everything he can to you know, get through it. And of course, it comes down to like him and a priest to Red bribes with a Mercedes, ends up giving Glenn a Mercedes as well. But
Did he give them both? I mean, that was a thing, right? So we never know if the priest actually took the bribe. He just said he was going to pray on it and walked away. So we don't know what.
True, he could have just taken. He could have just did the right thing and walked away.
Well, I mean, did Glenn win legitimately? But Red had the car that prepared to give to the priest, who didn't end up winning it. And you know, like the priest didn't throw it. Like Glenn legit won it, and so he's like, "Well, give it to Glenn. He legit won it. He deserves it." That was actually the impression that I got.
Interesting. Yeah, I got the idea of two Mercedes, but yeah, I like your story better.
Because I have faith in Glenn.
And faith in priests are good.
Yeah. Because it was almost the kind of thing, too, is he was like, you didn't have faith in me, and I did it on my own. And you were kind of thinking, yeah, but Red bribed him. But then suddenly Red gives him the Mercedes, meaning... Oh, he really did do it on his own.
Okay, good call. Yeah,
listeners, what do you think?
That's a better spin, a better way to tell the story. Yeah, what do you all think, listeners? Because I'm going to go with that one now. I like that one. That's better than Red paying off both people at the end, which is nominal compared to the millions of dollars Red probably made from the deal.
Yeah. with the CIA, we think. That was an interesting...
That's what he believed.
He was like, I don't know, I think they're CIA, whatever.
Right.
It was, all right.
And we had good, happy Red moments at the end. Red smiling and feeling good, so...
Dembe going, I am not rubbing his feet.
Right. Oh, yeah, the whole phone call. And the two of them sitting in the parking lot. Why are there so many police here? My God, that's a lot of police officers. What's going on?
This was a good... Because the Red stuff was hysterical. Yeah, because all of it.
Red probably figured he could just, you know, schmooze his way into this thing and drive away with that truck. And he's like, there was an awful lot of police here for me to pull off anything. So, no, good. It was a fun episode for that. But yeah, the overall arc the Blacklister was blah. But yeah, the other stuff was fine. You know, and it's,
you want me to call her mother? Get her involved?
Oh God, I wouldn't wish that. Yeah. Which means we're going to meet Glenn's mother someday. We haven't met her yet, have we?
I don't know.
I don't believe so.
I don't know.
I don't believe so.
She's going to be blacklisted like 17 or something like that. Glenn's mom.
Yeah, exactly. She'll be high up on the list. We did have one last thing, just going back to the Newton Purcell moment, was at the end when he has a fight with Park, and Park goes into her total rage mode again, where she just... you know, goes full on Jason Bourne and just instincts take over and is prepared to kill him. And Liz luckily stops her just in time. They have their little conversation about Alaska and whatever happened in Anchorage. And the preview for next week's episode brings us to Alaska.
You know what scene came to mind?
What's that?
With the scene from the first Star Trek reboot, where Spock is beating the crap out of Kirk and Spock, that for whatever reason, that was the scene in my mind.
That's kind of what it was, though. I mean, yeah, she was just blindly choking him out, and very similar to that. And she there was nothing there. And you had that, the way they'd use the sound muting throughout the episode with Purcell. Kind of with her too, that she just, you know, blocked out the sound of anybody else talking to her. So, but next week's episode brings us to Alaska. So maybe next week we'll finally learn her dark secret, because we know Liz knows, but that's all we know. We don't know anything about what her dark past is, other than
she was actually a really bad cook, and it was baked Alaska was what they were talking about. She poisoned an entire dinner party. That's all it was.
And it causes her to go Jason Bourne. So.
Yes.
But we'll see. We'll see. So that'll be next week. We did get some mails and...
Oh, we did.
And Facebooks this week. I'll read the Facebook first, Tom.
I can't find the mail. I'm totally not prepared. I'm so sorry.
Tom, one of our regulars, was just asking us if did we get flashbacks to Cape May last week with the Cornelius Rock episode with Red and a woman. He loves fighting in a darkened building against a large number of enemies. I think I'm not sure if we actually mentioned that in the episode, but yes, absolutely. Just one of those Red-only episodes. I think we mentioned Cape May in that. But if we didn't, absolutely, absolutely agree. It was definitely a Cape May feel with the two of them there. He does go into, we were trying to figure out the time frame here of what was going on last week, and says that it was said just under 3 years since he brought the plan to steal the boxes to Reddington, or since she brought the plan. Later she said Mersey was after the theft, so 3 years ago would have been shortly before Tom Keen died. And that was 2 years of episode time, plus Liz was in a coma for a year. So this very well could have happened during that year Liz was in a coma.
Roughly
around that time. That would actually make sense, because what was Red doing during that year?
Well, they never tell you, other than I got the impression he was by her side the entire time.
Right.
They never said that, but maybe they did. I don't know. But I was always under that impression that he was right next to her the entire time. But okay.
But yeah, I Excellent. Wouldn't be surprised if he was. But that makes sense, because we were trying to figure out that this was presented in a way last week that it took place before the show even started. But no, the show's been about 10 years of time. in 7 seasons. So, all right, what we had an email. What do you have there?
So we did get an email, and I'm going to kind of paraphrase this just for expediency purposes. Hello again. Listen to your explanation. Importance of protecting Liz, and I like it. Be really interesting twist. More exciting than just Cold War spies and family squabbles. Also picked up on the Anastasia and Fabergé egg reference. Good. It wasn't just us.
We've brought it up, so it's going to be there.
Yeah. So could also explain Red's exquisite taste for the finer things in life. Don't forget Constantine's wealth, perhaps a white Russian living in Canada, as well as his blood disorder and whatever happened to... Oh, and his blood disorder. And whatever happened to Red's inferred illness? This seems to have been dropped, although the drug trial didn't work. That's actually a really good point. I had forgotten about that.
I looked that up when I read that email. I went and looked it up, and that's kind of a thing that's gone around the various forums and all that, is like, weren't we led to believe at some point that Red was like dying from something?
It was like super imminent, yeah.
And that just kind of fell off. And one of the things I read too was that, you know, during the part of last season when he was getting ready to be executed, he was given a clean bill of health. So, because he was examined at that time and presumed to be healthy at that time. So if he had something that was really bad, A1, when did he get it? And B, has it been cured? Because the last we heard of it, the treatments weren't working. And Red had that guy who was that doctor who was supposed to do the funky treatments and all that.
The clean bill of health is an interesting thing too, because you would think that they would have found all kinds of interesting things out about him with a clean bill of health if there had been any type of gender swap.
That's a good point. Yeah.
And that could just be bad television, but there's no way that, because he would have had to have undergone a physical, like, Mr. Rington, did you know you don't have a prostate?
Right. You're missing a few things that are important. Good call. So I'm not sure, but I agree with that.
Just really quick, I want to say thank you to, I'm guessing Angie looked like the way she was spelling it. Either that or she just stopped typing at some point. So thank you for the email, Angie. Appreciate it.
Yeah, do appreciate that. And yeah, we love the ideas and theories. You can go ahead and put them up many ways, so I'll tell you those ways now. You can go ahead and email them to us at blacklist@podcasttrivia.com, or you can go ahead and jump on Facebook or Twitter and go ahead and put your comments there. If you get this podcast from Apple Podcasts, go ahead and leave us a review. We do appreciate those. And if you want to see this us record this show live, you could check us out roughly half hour after this show on the East Coast airs. We go on twitch.tv/podcasttrivia, and you can watch us record it then. So anyway, that is going to do it for this week's episode. I am Brian, and he is Dave, and we'll see you next time.
Good night, everybody.